the end of chapter 26, after describing the incredible creation of the material world, starting with the Lord's glancing upon the Pradhan and it transforming into the Mahatattva, and then gradually the four subtle senses manifest of the Chitta, Ahankar, Man and Buddhi, the mind, the intelligence, the false ego and consciousness. And then and they're predominating deities as well, Vasudeva, Aniruddha, Pradyumna and Sankarsan. And then by the combination of false ego with the three modes of goodness, passion, ignorance, all the rest of the material creation evolves in a subtle form. And then, pushed by Krishna's Kala Shakti, Krishna's potency of time. Because we see this in the world and the lives of others, in our own lives. Whether we like this particular time and its effect, or we hate this particular time and its effect, time will push onward. Time is unstoppable. It is the energy of the Paramatma, of the Supersoul. It is unstoppable. Kalosmin Lokachaya Krit, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. I am that time element. I am time. And ultimately in the material world, although time pushes everything to creation and then maintenance and then ultimately, time must push everything in the material world to destruction. So Kalosmin Lokachaya Krit, Krishna says, I come to destroy everything. Because none of the souls in the material world actually belong in the material world. And we are taking full shelter of the things of the material world, of the material world itself. So Krishna, through his time energy, ruins our plans to find our happiness, our shelter in this changing material world. To push us for the purpose of pushing us to the spiritual world, to his lotus feet. Everything that we take shelter of in this world, think of where your shelter is. Is it in your body, your mind, your family, children, bank account? It all is going to be crushed. Your house, position, fame, it's all going to be into fine powder by the force of time. But time is pushing forward the creation. And we've heard that. And then when the creation on the subtle level manifests up to a particular level, then the Lord enters with the Mahatattva and seven other elements. Mahatattva possibly being one of those seven, into the universe. And then the universal form manifests, which is like a blueprint of the universe. The documentation, so to speak, of the universe. But that universal form, it begins to manifest with all the demigods who have responsibility in making the universe, including the individual bodies, function. But nothing can make it work until the Lord enters that universal form as the Supersoul. And that, or rather based on that, that the Supersoul is the life-giving, or God, Krishna, Ishwara, Paramatma. He is the life of the universe, because the universe is dependent upon Him. Based on that, and this part again is the jnana, or the knowledge of Sankhya Yoga, Based on that, the chapter ends, because this is the ultimate purpose of the of Sankhya Yoga and all the use of Gyan, to discriminate between the material elements, the soul, and that which is considered also the 26th element, the super soul, and Sankhya means counting. The 26th element to discriminate on with, or to discriminate out of the entire mixture of the material world and perceive the super soul. That's chapters, the end of the chapter, and the last verse of the chapter tells, gee whiz, it's hard to imagine that goes on in Vrindavan too, that you have to say at the beginning of a class, everyone should turn off your mobile phones. You have to do that in the outside of Vrindavan, but now, and usually I say, if it's for me, tell them I'm busy. But it's never for me. So the conclusion of this previous chapter, and really of the Gyan part of the of Sankhya Yoga, is the 72nd, the final verse, the 72nd verse. Tamasmin pratyagatmanam dhiya yoga pravrittaya bhaktya varakya gyanena bhavikshatmani chintayet. Therefore, the English, and notice those words, bhaktya varakya gyanena, with bhakti, with detachment, varakti, and gyan, with knowledge. One should, vavitshatmani, one should consider carefully what this universe actually is, who it is resting on that super soul, atmani, well, one is in the body, chintayet, one should contemplate this. This should be the object in Sankhya Yoga, especially of one's contemplation. What is everything resting upon? What energy is it resting on? This is the super soul. So the Prabhupada's translation is, therefore, through devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge, that's that bhaktya varaktya gyanena, through devotion, bhakti, detachment, because if one's attached to the things of the material world, and trying to develop bhakti at the same time, it is like trying to light a fire while at the same time pouring water on it. Not ghee or kerosene or petrol. No. Water. The two are incompatible. The fire and the water are incompatible. So with devotion, detachment, and advancement in spiritual knowledge, jnana, acquired, how do we get that? Through concentrated devotional service. One should contemplate that super soul as present in this very body, although simultaneously apart from it. So we heard how the super soul is present, and he's that which Mama Angsa Teja Sambhava, that which the universe is resting upon, and yet he's within our body. Savasya Chaham Ride Sanavisto. He's within our body as well. Yad Jeta Purusha Para. In every body. Ishvara Sava Bhutanam. So that's already amazing. He's so potent that not only is the whole universe resting upon him, but in every single heart of every single living entity, and also within every atom, contemplate his potency, his power. Because it's necessary to know his power, because we're going to be asked to surrender to him. And not only, yes, surrender, and also bhakti. Give him our heart, everything, surrender, take shelter of him fully. We have to know his power. Because now in this material world, we take shelter of so many things that have such little power. And yet we take shelter of them. Especially what is the prime shelter of all human beings? Of course it's the body, but I'm not looking for that. What? Money. I was thinking something else, but that's true. The mind. Our worshipable deity, our mind. Whatever my mind wants, I surrender. So now, we'll read, Krishna willing, 9 texts today. The next step forward. But it's really a continuation of the conclusion we just mentioned about how everything is resting on the super soul, and the purpose of the Sankhya Yoga and of our life is to take shelter of him. Discern him and take shelter of him. So the first text, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Kapila Muni speaks, Prakritisto api purusho na jete prakritar guna avikarara katritam nirgunatva jalarkavat. The personality of Godhead, Kapila continued. Very interesting verse. When the living entity is thus unaffected by the modes of material nature, why, how is he thus unaffected by the modes of material nature? By doing what was said in that 72nd verse. By taking shelter with bhakti, detachment, and knowledge, taking shelter of the super soul. So when he is unaffected by the modes of material nature, that is the result of that type of shelter. No longer is one obeying the dictations of the three modes of material nature, but one is under the shelter of Krishna. So when one is unaffected by the modes of material nature in that way, because he is unchanging, because he's a soul, and has nothing to do with the material world, and he does not claim proprietorship because he has viraktiya, he has detachment, so therefore he's not thinking, I own this and I own that. He remains apart from the reactions of the modes of material nature. He's not controlled, entangled in maya. Although abiding in a material body, he's still completely free, just as the sun remains aloof from its reflection on water. In other words, there is the sun. It is shining. And there is a lake. And the sun's reflection is seen on the lake. Yes? And what else is happening on the lake? What's happening on the water? The water is rippling. And what qualities does the water have? Aside from its rippling, water is cool, water is wet. But does the sun have anything at all to do with the rippling? Does it have anything to do with the wetness of the water or the coolness of the water? No, it's completely aloof, although it appears to be on it. So similarly, the soul who is detached, he appears to be rippling and showing the effects of the modes of material nature. He appears as if he's being affected by the material world, but he's actually completely aloof from it, as the sun is completely aloof from its reflection upon the water. The Bhagavad Gita in the 5th chapter describes something very similar. Prabhupada's purport, quite interesting. In the previous chapter, Lord Kapiladeva has concluded that simply by beginning the discharge of devotional service, one can attain detachment and transcendental knowledge for understanding the science of God. Here, the same principle is confirmed. A person who is detached from the modes of material nature remains just like the sun reflected on water. The sun has nothing to do with the water. When the sun is reflected on water, the movement of the water or the coolness or unsteadiness of the water cannot affect the sun. Similarly, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, when one engages fully, notice the word fully, because now we're engaging in bhakti, but sometimes it's not, sometimes maybe occasionally for some of us, it's not so full or complete. But this is the effect of full, complete engaging the heart, the consciousness, the mind, the intelligence, the body, everything, taking shelter of Krishna. The result is he becomes just like the sun reflecting on water. He has nothing to do with the material world, although he appears to be in the material world. This is a devotee. This is a Vaishnava. Although a devotee appears to be in the material world, actually, he is in the transcendental world. He is with Krishna. And what is he doing with Krishna? That we may not know. If we are very exalted and qualified, we may know that. Just like some of the exalted disciples of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur named his position in relationship with Krishna as Nayan Manjari, and Narottama Das Thakur named his spiritual master. Who is Narottama Das Thakur's spiritual master? And who did he name him as? You know? Manjulali. And the great acharyas have named Srila Rupa Goswami in his eternal relationship with Krishna, and Sanatana Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami. But we may not know, but exalted devotees, they are there with Krishna, although they appear to be here in the material world. But they are no more really touching the material world than Krishna actually touches the material world when he is here. We speak in that way generally, that Krishna descends to the material world, but actually Krishna never touches and descends into the material world. Sambhavamyatmamayaya. He comes by his internal energy, and he always is he's not here exactly in the material world, but he's always playing with his internal energy, with his eternal associates. Prabhupada continues. So this is quite interesting. As the reflection of the sun appears to be on the water, but is many millions of miles away from the water, so one engaged in the bhakti yoga process is nirgun, unaffected by the qualities of material nature. And then we'll read just at the, right at the end of the purport. Akartriptvat means not doing anything for sense gratification. So we want to be in that position with Krishna in the spiritual world, like the exalted advanced devotees. Yes, we should want that. But yet, we have to be qualified. And here's one of the qualifications. Akartriptvat means not doing anything for sense gratification. Not doing anything. Not only doing 50% for Krishna and 50% for me, or 80% for Krishna and 20% for me, or 90% for Krishna and 10%, or 98% for Krishna. No, one must love Krishna fully. And that is the only way one can actually fully give oneself to Krishna, if one is a lover of Krishna. Prema Bhakta. And therefore, Prema Pamarto Mahan. This is the goal of Krishna consciousness. When one does something at his own risk, there is a sense of proprietorship and therefore a reaction. But when one does everything for Krishna, there is no proprietorship over the activities. By changelessness and by not claiming the proprietorship of activities, one can immediately situate himself in the transcendental position. So it is easy to understand, easy to read about, easy to say, yes, I want that, which is very good to say that, as opposed to saying, no, I don't want to be in that position. But yet, Prabhupada said, one can immediately do this, but yet one has to be extremely pure or extremely determined to say from that, to actually fully take shelter of Krishna. Just like we read, Kirtaniya Sadahari, what does that mean? Always chant Krishna. And then we will be free from the material, so we can say, I will always chant Krishna's names. And indeed, I have said that so many times. But unless one is very pure, very determined, very deeply desiring to do that, there will be so many things that distract us. But if one can do it, if one does take shelter of Krishna in that way, one can immediately, janayat yasu, asu, quickly, immediately, vairagyam, janam, chaya, rahaitukam. Just, so one will be not touched, just as the reflection of the sun is unaffected by water. Now, if one doesn't become liberated in this way, if one doesn't perform bhakti, doesn't get this transcendental knowledge, doesn't become detached, what happens? Text 2. 2 and 3 describe that. When the soul is under the spell of material nature and false ego, the English of that is very interesting, under the spell, in Sanskrit, vimudha, bewildered, confused by maya. What does it mean to be confused by maya, or bewildered by maya, or to be under the spell of maya, controlled by maya, forgetting who we are, attracted to all the glitter of the material world, all the shiny objects, thinking only if I have that it will make me happy, developing so many desires, enemies, plans with myself in the center. So one who is under the spell of material nature and false ego, that's the first spell of material nature, identification with the body. He becomes, identifying his body as the self, he becomes absorbed in material activities. And by the influence of false ego, he thinks he is the proprietor of everything. The conditioned soul, text 3. Therefore, what happens to such a person who's thinking that I am the owner, the proprietor, this is mine, you are my enemy, you're trying to get in my way, I'll kill you, I'll do this, I'll do that, I need this for me, always me, this is me, and family, car, this, that, I want so many things, working so hard, absorbed in those moods. What is the result of that type of mentality? The conditioned soul therefore transmigrates into different species of life. Sarasat Joni Janmasu. One birth after the next. Samsara Dhava Nalalila Loka. It's like a forest fire. Being trapped in a forest fire. Just imagine, maybe we shouldn't do this, but imagine what it would be like to be trapped in a forest fire with flames all around you, so hot, smoke, torture, suffering, and then death. samsara dava nalalila loka. A forest fire, everything is burning and it's going to burn you too. If you think about it, you'll become terrified. So the conditioned soul therefore transmigrates into different species of life, higher and lower, because of his association with the modes of material nature. Bhagavad Gita, same thing. That verse we talked about so many times, Purusha Prakriti Stohi, Bhunte Prakriti Janaya. Same, Karanam Guna Sangasya, because of his association with the modes of nature. Unless he is relieved of material activities, he has to accept this position because of his faulty work, his karma dosh. Birth after birth after birth. I was supposed to read all these purports. These are the results of being bound, but maybe I'll be able to come back. Text 4. If one asks the question, because if you think about it, here is an eternal soul, and this is what we just heard about, an eternal soul with the super soul, the Lord, the Ishwara present. How could he fall into such illusion? How could he misidentify himself in a crazy way? Just like if I think, here I am, such and such person, if suddenly I think that I'm someone completely different. I forget who I am and I think I'm someone who I am not. How is that possible? Only if you are crazy. That's how it's possible. But the next text explains how the eternal soul can experience the insanity and of identifying with the body and a life after life of bondage and suffering. Arteya vidya manepi samsritir nanavartate jayato vishayanasya srapne anartagamo yata. Arte, the real cause, he certainly, avidyamane, non-existing, although samsriti nanavartate, although the material existence does not cease, the real cause of his suffering doesn't really exist. But what is the cause of it nevertheless? Because dhyayato vishayanasya, because of his mentality of lording it over the material nature, because of illusion, because of him wanting to ishwaraham aham bogi, him wanting to be God, wanting to be Krishna, him wanting to be the center, not servant of Krishna, but wanting to act as if he's the center, fearing to give himself to Krishna. And because of this, his material condition does not end, it does not cease. And just as in a dream, he is affected by all sorts of disadvantages. Yesterday I had a dream. There was some medicine that would make it that any time I was hurt, I would be cured immediately. My injuries would heal, and I had forgotten to take that medicine. And someone was shooting me, and I was running, and I had forgotten to take my medicine. But I was also watching this happen to me. Someone was trying to shoot me and I was trying to escape and rolling here and there and hide myself. I don't know if I survived even. But I was watching myself while this was happening. In a dream, so many things happen. So many dangerous things happen. And in the dream, it is frightening because it is happening to you, even though in fact you are lying comfortably on your bed and you have nothing to do with the dream. In fact. Same thing in the ninth chapter of the second canto, Srapno Jashtam Iva Ihavaha. This is the relationship between the living entity who is eternal, non-changing, and has a relationship with Krishna, and his material life. It's like a dream. And the cause of the dream, he's trying to enjoy those things. Bahurupaya bhakti mayaya bahurupaya. He's trying to enjoy those things created by the material energy, and therefore he identifies with his dream position, has to suffer so much. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read some. The example of a dream is very appropriate. Due to different mental conditions, in dreams we are put into advantageous and disadvantageous positions. Similarly, the spirit soul has nothing to do with this material nature, but because of his mentality of lording it over, he is put into the position, that one position after the next in conditioned existence. So we are not, Prabhupada explains in the purport, that we are not the Lord, we are not the enjoyer, we are not even the friend of living entities. It is Krishna who is the enjoyer, the Lord, and the friend. Bhoktaram jagatapasam savaloka maheshram suditam savabhutanam. It's very interesting how in this purport Prabhupada said, it's very, very heavy actually. We perform philanthropic work thinking that we are the friends of human society. Someone may proclaim himself to be a very good national worker, the best friend of the people and of the country, but actually cannot be the greatest friend of everyone. The only friend is Krishna. The only friend is Krishna. So one may think, that means I can't have any friends in this world. If I'm a devotee, I can't have any friends. Remember that, and remember that question. And Prabhupada will speak from a different point of view about friendship later on. But here the point is that due to this tendency to wish to lord it over material nature, we accept the dream or full self as us, and therefore we have to suffer so much. Sarasad Joni Janmasu. Remember how the sequence of verses went. First, reminded us that one is detached if one takes shelter of the super soul with bhakti, and then one may appear to be in the material world, but one doesn't suffer the material world. And now, on the other hand, those who suffer in the material world are those who dream or accept the dream as reality, and the cause of that is their wishing to enjoy the dream. So that, no one can stop us from that. Someone can tell us, don't do that. But if we wish to enjoy, we have our free will. And this verse describes what the cause of this, very important. The cause of all this problem is we have turned our back on Krishna. Bhogavan Shakari. We desire to enjoy. So therefore, conclusion after hearing this in text 5, the conclusion is that after hearing this, we should stop. We should perform the activities that will stop our entanglement in this dream of material life, which causes so much suffering. Therefore, ata eva, in text 5, ata eva means therefore, shanais chitam prashaktam satam pati. That means, therefore, shanai, gradually, chitta, chitam, the mind, consciousness, prasaktam, attached, a satam of material enjoyment, pati. That every conditioned soul who is attached to this path of material enjoyment, bhakti yoga in a tivrena. What other verse in the Bhagavatam has these words, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Same advice. Regardless if you're attached, pure, or even desire liberation, same advice for everyone. Learn to love Krishna. Serve him. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Here, Prabhupada translates Tivrena how? Very seriously. Understanding. Because Tivrena also means very powerfully. But very seriously understanding what is at stake, meaning that we can wake up from the dream if we do this. We can end all suffering if we do this. Therefore, should we prosecute it very seriously. And how should we do this? Viraktya chanayed visham. Without attachment and bringing his mind and consciousness under full control. Here's Prabhupada's translation. It is a duty, therefore, Ateva, after hearing this, understanding this, the way that the material world comes into being, who the super soul is, what the position of a liberated soul is, and what the position of a conditioned trapped soul is, and what the cause of the trapment is. Therefore, it is the duty of every conditioned soul to engage his polluted consciousness. Polluted with what? That desire to enjoy. Polluted consciousness, which is now attached to material enjoyment, engage that in very serious devotional service with detachment. Instead of the mood of enjoyment, the mood of detachment. Thus, his mind and consciousness will be under full control. Prabhupada says about halfway down the page in his purport, it is therefore recommended in this verse that one engage very seriously in the devotional service of the Lord. This means that one should not think that he is the proprietor. Because if one is engaging in devotional service to the Lord and thinking he's the proprietor, it's missing the point. If one is thinking he's a servant, that's the point. This means that one should not think that he's the proprietor, benefactor, friend, or enjoyer. He should always be cognizant that the real enjoyer is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the basic principle of Bhakti Yoga. One should be firmly convinced of these three principles. One should always think that Krishna is the proprietor. Prabhupada is so strong, direct. Krishna is the enjoyer and Krishna is the friend. Not only should he understand these principles himself, but he should try to convince others and propagate Krishna consciousness. And then at the end of the purport, the mind has to be fixed at the eternal lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. What do the lotus feet of the Lord look like? Because how can you fix your mind at the lotus feet of the Lord? They're very attractive. Why are they very attractive? Huh? That's not what they look like, a shelter? But what do they look like? You're saying that he has big feet? So big? They have tulsi on them. What color are they? Pinkish. Yes, and they have certain markings on them. And they are very, 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 yes, fragrant. What else? Cooling. Nails are, yeah, moons, and effulgent. And what else? Ankle bells. And they are very, very komal. So soft. And the opening cantos of the Bhagavatam are compared to Krishna's lotus feet. They introduce us. When we see Krishna, first we have to be humble and first look at his lotus feet. So this is the introduction to Krishna's lotus feet.
White toenail?
Yes, toenails that are like moons and effulgent. One has to fix his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Then everything will be very nice. Thus the seriousness of bhakti yoga is stressed in this. Isn't it funny to talk about the seriousness of bhakti yoga and then talk about Krishna's lotus feet? Because one seems, the seriousness is sort of, in English, it's a very cold word. And Krishna's lotus feet are very soft and fragrant. And if we perform our bhakti yoga without fixing our mind at Krishna's lotus, soft lotus feet, what will happen? Don't find out. Because that's the purpose of bhakti yoga. So how to do this? What is the process of seriously performing bhakti yoga? What is the essence? Because he's going to talk about other things as well. Because it's not only pure bhakti that's being described here. Kapila Muni is speaking about jnana, which is a mixture of bhakti, jnana, and sankhya, and things like, and yoga. But here the heart, we heard this already, the heart is bhakti. What is the essence? One has to become Yamadivir Yoga Pataya, beginning with Yam, and we'll hear some of the Yamas or the rules, the Yam Nyam, the rules and regulations. But Yoga Pataya, on this path, Abhyasan, one has to practice Shradayan Vita with great faith. Yoga Pataya, the yoga system, one has to practice this with great faith. Mayi Bhavena Satyena Matkata Shravanena Cha. So whatever else one is going to do in this Sankhya Yoga, Mayi Bhavena Satyena, Mayi unto me Bhavena with devotion, Satyena pure, Matkata Shravanena Cha. But you should hear about me with great devotion. Hear about my Kata, Krishna Kata. This is the heart of the Sankhya Yoga and is everything in Bhakti Yoga. Not everything, but it is everything. So this is the seriousness. One has to seriously hear. Listen carefully. One has to be, here's the Prabhupada's translation, one has to become faithful by practicing the controlling process of the yoga system. And one must elevate himself to the platform of unalloyed devotion by chanting and hearing about me. Matkata Shravanena Cha. One has to hear about Krishna. Shravanadijal. Iyan Mali Nitya Sechi Shravanadijal. To water the plant of our spiritual life with chanting and hearing about Krishna. If we don't do that, what will happen to the plant? What will happen to any plant if we don't water it? Very quickly it will die. How many days will a plant last? Depends how hot it is. How many days will you last without watering, drinking water? Yam soy. Sikanga. Will only last 1 or 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. And if it's very hot, quickly finished. So Prabhupada explains in his purport, Bhavena or Bhava is a very important factor in the practice of yoga or any spiritual process. Bhava is explained in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. One should be absorbed in the thought of love of Krishna. One should be absorbed in the thought of love of Krishna. When one knows that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of everything, and that everything emanates from Him, Aham Savasya Prabhavo, then one understands the Vedanta aphorism, Janmad Yasya Yataha, the original source of everything. Then he can become absorbed in Bhava, or the preliminary stage of love of Godhead. And then I really should I won't be able to read it now because it's going a little late. Important. I hope everyone is reading the purports very carefully. So much wonderful association and instruction from Prabhupada. Text 7. In executing devotional service, one has to see every living entity equally, without enmity towards anyone, yet without intimate connection with anyone. One has to observe celibacy, be grave, and execute his eternal activity, his eternal activities, offering the results. What is that? Swadharmena vales, his one's occupational duties, by offering the results to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All this is in also Bhagavad Gita. So this is explaining the more Sankhya part in how to practice this Astanga Yoga. And this is going to be explained still further in the next chapter. But it all ends, the Jnana, the Yoga, it all ends with Bhakti. And as Prabhupada explained at the end of the last purport, which I unfortunately didn't read, that one can attain the same results through all these very difficult and strenuous practices through bhakti, through just through the matkata shravanena cha. And therefore in Prabhupada's purport to text 7 were all the yamas. And 6, 7, and 8 were the rules and regulations of this yoga described. He explains how the same things are achieved through the standard processes that we follow in bhakti. A devotee, here is one example in text 7 in Prabhupada's purport in the third paragraph. A devotee should not speak needlessly, because monavrat is one of the points described here, monena. A devotee, that means silence. A devotee should not speak needlessly. A serious devotee has no time to speak nonsense. He is always busy in Krishna consciousness. Whenever he speaks about Krishna. If you want to find out something interesting, take a vow for one day or 2 days to not speak anything other than about Krishna. And then what will happen is you'll see how much nonsense usually comes out of your mouth and will also come out of your mouth when you try to do this. I once took a vow in Kartik. One devotee suggested to me, if you want to do something interesting, take a vow not to criticize any devotees in Kartik. Not to say anything bad about any devotee in Kartik. So I said, yes, that sounds interesting. So I made that vow. And I lasted about 2 days. And I couldn't do it even during those, even in the first day. And what I've discovered is casually, for no real reason and with no affection, so many times continuously I speak criticism of the devotees for no purpose other than to criticize. So take the vow, from now on I will not talk about anything else but Krishna, and you'll see how much nonsense you talk during the day. Casual, fruitless, valueless nonsense. Casual, fruitless, detrimental criticism of devotees. For his income, text 8. These are all practices in yoga which are also very important in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada in his purports, he explains how a devotee applies these important principles. For his income, a devotee should be satisfied with what he earns without great difficulty. He should not eat more than what is necessary. He should live in a secluded place and always be thoughtful, peaceful, friendly, compassionate, and self-realized. Prabhupada before, or the verse said that we shouldn't, that Prabhupada in his purport said that it is only Krishna who is the friend. But here, he says that we should be friendly. We have to be friendly. But we should not think that we are the ultimate friend. We can only help another if Krishna allows us to help another. If we don't make friendship with the devotees, because we are social by nature, we will be forced by that social nature to make friendship with non-devotees. And then whatever desires they have, by that friendship will come to our hearts. So indeed we must make friendship with the devotees. We'll read some of Prabhupada's purport here, and then we'll conclude with the next text, which doesn't have a long purport. We'll read from the beginning of the second paragraph to the end. Another word here, because again, these are the practices of yoga that Prabhupada shows how to practice these same things in bhakti. Another word here is mitabhuk. That means that one should eat only as much as necessary to maintain the body and soul together. One should not be gluttonous to satisfy the tongue. Grains, fruits, milk, and similar foods are allotted for human consumption. One should not be excessively eager to satisfy the tongue and eat that which is not meant for humanity. Particularly, a devotee should eat only prasad, or food which is offered to the personality of Godhead. His position is to accept the remnants of those foodstuffs. Innocent foods like grains, vegetables, fruits, flowers, and milk preparations are offered to the Lord, and therefore there is no scope for offering foods which are in the mode of passion and ignorance. A devotee should not be greedy. It is also recommended that the devotee should be muni, or thoughtful. Thoughtful means introspective. He should always think of Krishna and how to render better service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That should be his only anxiety. As a materialist is always thoughtful about improving his material condition, a devotee's thoughts should always be engaged in improving his condition in Krishna consciousness. How can I advance? How can I advance? How can I be a better devotee? Therefore, he should be a muni. So this is the application of that word for in bhakti yoga for devotees. The next item, Prabhupada continues, is that a devotee should live in a secluded place. Generally, a common man is interested in pounds, shilling, and pence, or rupees and paisa, or dollars and cents, or euros. Or a materialistic advancement in life which is unnecessary for a devotee. A devotee should select a place of residence where everyone is interested in devotional service. Okay? Generally, therefore, a devotee goes to a sacred place of pilgrimage where devotees live. It is recommended that he live in a place where there is no large number of ordinary men. Difficult if you're not living in Vrindavan, Mayapur, or Jagannath Puri. It is very important to live in a secluded place, vivikta sharana. So that's what Prabhupada's meaning is one should associate with devotees. And therefore, when Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy what the greatest pain in this world was, his answer was separation from devotees. Difficult. Krishna sometimes throws us into places. And one may, where there are not so many devotees, and one may wonder, what am I doing here? But Krishna does this for his purposes. So we should think, how can I serve properly in this particular circumstance? The next item is shanta, or peaceful. The devotee should not be agitated. He should be satisfied with his natural income. It is as much as he needs to to keep his health, live in a secluded place, and always remain peaceful. Peace of mind is necessary for prosecuting Krishna consciousness. The next item is maitra, friendliness. A devotee should be friendly to everyone. But his intimate friendship should be with devotees only. With others, he should be official. He may say, "Yes, sir, whatever you say is all right." But he is not intimate with them. A devotee should, however, have compassion for persons who are innocent, who are neither atheistic nor very much advanced in spiritual realization. A devotee should be compassionate towards them and instruct them as far as possible in making advancement in Krishna consciousness. A devotee should always remain atmavan, or situated in his spiritual position. He should not forget that his main concern is to make advancement in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, and he should not ignorantly identify himself with the body or the mind. Atma means the mind, the body, or the mind. But here the word atmavan means, especially means that he should be self-possessed. He should know who he is, a soul. He should always remain in the pure consciousness that he's a spirit soul and not the material body and not his mind. That will make him progress confidently in Krishna consciousness. And the final verse that we'll read. One seeing power should be increased through knowledge of spirit and matter, and one should not unnecessarily identify himself with the body and thus become attracted by bodily relationships. So by this knowledge, as Prabhupada explains in his purport, one should avoid the bodily concept of life. So this is approaching liberation. By doing this, one approaches freedom from material contamination. And then one can enter into his eternal relationship with Krishna. Okay, we'll stop here. This is Kapila Dev's teachings, yoga. I wanted to read also, because it talked about yam. Yam means yam niyam, rules and regulations. Just a simple quotation from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, who describes what the yams and niyams, the rules and regulations of yoga, are. Very interesting, actually. Non-violence, truthfulness, abstention from stealing, continence. What does continence mean? Huh? Absence of greed from possessions beyond one's needs. These are the five pillars of yama. Yamas, he continues, this is what Patanjali says, yamas are the great, mighty, universal vows, unconditioned by place, time, and class. Cleanliness, contentment, religious zeal, self-study, and surrender of the self to the supreme self are the niyams. Principles which run contrary to yama niyam are to be counted with knowledge and discrimination. So these are the preliminary rules and regulations. Prabhupada covered them. The devotees cover them by their practices. These are the preliminary practices of yoga or of spiritual life that have to be done if one wants to become elevated to at least goodness so he can make advancement. And tendencies and principles contrary to the yam niyams are to be, as Patanjali said, countered. One should not engage in those activities. They should be countered with knowledge and discrimination, the use of intelligence. So Prabhupada's purports, we read just a little bit there of them, but they show how all the rules and regulations of this yoga are being accomplished, or how they should be accomplished in bhakti yoga. Okay, any questions or comments? Thank you. Virakti. I think virakti, you're saying what is the difference exactly? Detachment, I think. Yes, go ahead. Could you look it up? Anyone have it at their Sanskrit dictionary handy? Or does anyone know the answer to that in Sanskrit? That any, is there any distinction between vairagya and virakti? Virakti is detachment and vairagya is renunciation. So you can be renounced, which is the basic principle that Prabhu was saying, that you can be renounced but not detached. You can be a vairagi, a person who's renounced on the outside but inside not detached. Virakti means detachment. Yukta vairagyusate. You don't have the it with you? I think that's basically a detachment and renunciation. So if one, the principle of deep renunciation is detachment. That someone may renounce something but not be detached from it. Just like someone may have a fight with a family member and in anger renounce his family, but he's not detached. Vairagya, but not virakti. We're going two chapters back.
Yes.
There's a comment or a question?
A question.
Oh, satam prasangam mama diryasam vidho. Apavagya vagmini. Quick, but in the word by word, he says asu is quickly.
Yes.
And then in the...
Yes.
He says gradually.
Yes.
But you could... Gradually means what? What did Prabhupada mean by that? There's two ways to look like... No. There's two ways to understand the word gradually. One means step by step. Step by step. And the other way to look at it is thinking of it in terms of time. So Prabhupada meant step by step. Because the next word is, he gradually becomes advanced. And then, because the verse talks about step by step, Shadhya Rati Bhakti Anukramishyati. How about when you're looking at the deities? Do you happen to look at his lotus feet sometimes?
Yeah, same.
But you also should know that Krishna includes Aniruddha. Savai Krishna Pararavindayo. Mana Krishna Pararavinda. Krishna recommends Manmano Bhava Madbhakto. That's on a higher level that we were talking about there. But what did Prabhupada talk about in the purport? You should see that Krishna's he used the Bhoktaram Jagatapasam sloka. Meditate on Krishna as the best friend, as the provider, he's taking care. The Suridam as the Ishwara, Savaloka Maheshwara. So according to one level, the level of advancement that you have, you should meditate on Krishna. Also in the seventh chapter, described meditation. In the end of the sixth chapter, which is the conclusion that we're going to reach in the next chapter. So you meditate on Krishna wherever it's comfortable for you, and don't think that a natural for you, and don't think, oh, he's doing something like that and I have to imitate, because it's yanaya yasu vairagyam, and asu means gradually also. See, because that's why Prabhupada didn't say quickly, because then we say, oh, I've been chanting already for 2 years and I'm not even on the level of prema bhakti yet. I thought it's quickly, but step by step. And it depends how you prosecute the step you're on, how quickly it comes. And then also, quickly and gradually are relative to what time frame we think in terms of. In the third canto earlier, chapter 10, 11, whatever it was, 11, the time frame, the calculation of time from the atom. So it gave us a big frame of reference of Brahma's day, or Brahma's lifetime,
as being a flash of lightning. So Brahma's lifetime is so long, and we wouldn't say that's quickly, but we would say a flash of lightning appears quickly and disappears quickly. Yes? So it depends on what your frame of reference is, whether something is quick or gradual, quick or slow. So compared to countless billions of lives, even if it takes us 100 lives, it's quickly to progress Shraddha-Ritim, Bhakti, Manupramit-Kunasya. But step by step is the point. And sure, is the point Prabhupada was making by using the word, saying gradually. Any other questions or comments? Because we have another 35 seconds if we go by that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai.